Good morning. Glad to see everyone out on this beautiful Lord's Day, even though it's raining and will possibly turn to snow. It's still a beautiful day to come and to gather together to worship and to have fellowship with one another. How many, and once again, feel free, you don't have to hold up, raise your hand or answer out loud. You can answer to yourself. Keep the answer to yourself. How many of you can sing one of your favorite songs without even looking at the lyrics? You've memorized it. How many of you can rewatch a TV show 100 times and still not be bored of it? How many of you can bring out your favorite athlete and give me their name, date of birth, their social security card number, whatever? You can tell me everything about those individuals. A lot of people can know everything about their favorite athlete, favorite politician, favorite movie star, whoever it may be. You follow them. You follow them on social media or on the news, however. You learn everything about them because they're your favorite athlete, actor, whoever it is. You know about their private life. You know what they're struggling with. You know everything about them. People amaze me. They do. To follow someone like that, to know everything, that's amazing. Kind of scary sometimes because that's how stalkers come about. But people will give everything they can to know something about someone. But when you come to talk to them about Christ, about Scripture, they can tell you the bare minimum. They can't go any further than the bare minimum. Yeah, if you ask someone about Christ, they give you the very basic answer. Well, we know that he came and died for us. Well, that's great. That's common knowledge. Tell me more about Christ. I want to know everything I can about Christ. I want to go so deep into who he is and into his word that I know him better than the back of my hand. But people can't. People will follow these individuals to the ends of the earth. It's crazy to me that we take other human beings, and I've done it too, and we know everything about them. I could even quote quotes from movies that I watched 10 years ago, and I still remember. I still remember the movies very vividly in my mind. I can tell you certain scenes. I do it with my wife all the time. I ruin the movie sometimes. One of my favorite athletes, Peyton Manning, who's the GOAT, by the way, there's no argument. I could tell you his favorite meal. I could bring up stats from 2006 when they won the Super Bowl. I know everything about him. And still stuck to my mind. But yet I struggle with memorizing Scripture. There are songs that I know that I can sing in my head from beginning to end. But I can't quote Scripture like I should. It's a problem. We do all these extra things for worthless things. But when it comes to our walk with Christ, it's non-existent. We need to understand that what we choose to follow, who we choose to follow, is worthless knowledge. It won't help us in the future. It won't help us solve our problems. It does nothing, but yet we pay so much attention to these little details. I had a teacher while I was in preaching school, and he is obsessed with Andy Griffith. You go into his office, it's Andy Griffith everywhere. It's pretty cool, actually. It's like walking into a museum. And on his test, he would have a bonus question, and he would tell you what episode to watch. And it would be a question about that episode. And one of them, it was the episode with the young man who was speeding in his hot rod. Andy pulls him over, brings him to jail, and he stays for a few days until his lawyer shows up. But the question was, what's interesting about that vehicle he was driving? Now, of course, I watched that episode 100 times. I couldn't tell you. The steering wheel, you could switch to the passenger side and drive on the passenger side, which was interesting. I never noticed that. But he was obsessed with it. People can tell you some crazy facts, but they can never tell you about Christ. They can, if you got into a deep theological discussion with someone, they couldn't go that far with it. They couldn't defend the truth. They couldn't tell you anything about Scripture, what this text means, what that text means. Once again, worthless information. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have a favorite movie, favorite show. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it takes priority over following Christ and knowing all about Him, when it takes priority over studying Scripture, when it takes priority over our souls, that's when it becomes a problem. And really, the first factor that needs to be there is desire. Desire is so important. If you don't desire to watch that show, you'll turn it off. You want nothing more to do with it. If you don't desire to want to watch your favorite athlete play in his game or her game, then you won't watch it. You'll turn it off. Desire is what drives us to know everything we can about a certain person, certain thing. Do you desire Christ? Because when we look at our main text in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Christ starts off by saying, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me," if anyone desires to come after me, desires. When you have a strong desire, you will do anything to accomplish what you have set before you. If you desire it strong enough, you're going to do it. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." If you desire Christ, if you desire to be obedient, to live a life full of righteousness, you're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. We have too many Christians willing to lose their souls over this life, over this world. And not just Christians, but people of the world. They pay no attention to their souls. Their priority is to please the desires of their flesh, to fulfill those lusts. Why? Why? Why do we put so much effort into worthless things? I'm a big sports guy. I played football. I played baseball. I'm a bigger baseball guy. That was my sport. I loved it. I wanted to go pro. Now, once again, didn't cut out. The fastest pitch I ever threw was about 80 miles per hour. That's not going to get you far. My batting average, I'll tell you, I think it was like a .50. which is not good. Eventually, I came to realize I'm not going pro. I had a chance to play college ball, absolutely. That was the closest I've gotten. But when I became a Christian, my priorities shifted. Now, yes, I still watched baseball. I still watched sports. I still followed athletes. But my priority shifted to know everything about Christ, not about statistics. We need to understand what's more important, to know about the man who was God in the flesh, who came and died for all of us to wash away our sins and to give us a way to obtain salvation, or to follow the player who will eventually retire and go away. It's better knowing that than to worry about who's going to win the Super Bowl, the World Series, whatever. We need to understand and we need to shift our priority, our desire. It's so important, because when we don't walk the way we should, if we don't walk properly as Christ has commanded us to, we are talking about eternal punishment. An eternity in a place that is far worse than anything we can imagine. I've spent days where I've went through my mind and I thought, I wonder what heaven's like. I wonder what hell's like. And you try for hell. You try to imagine the worst possible. Still doesn't measure up. But yet, people still desire earthly things, worldly things. They still want to fulfill the desires of the flesh. We look at Paul and Peter and all of them. As they went through preaching Christ, they went through the same things we went through. They dealt with people rejecting Christ. And it is frustrating for me to see people rejecting Christ because they don't fully understand. Even the lukewarm Christians that take up many seats do not understand because they don't give the time to understand who Christ is and what Scripture says. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Those who desire Christ will work out their own salvation. They will pursue him daily. They will pursue Scripture daily, learning all they can, giving themselves the ability to overcome temptation. And it is only with Christ in your corner that you can do so, that you can have salvation. Paul understood what was more important. Paul understood. Paul had everything before he became a follower of Christ. He had everything that any man could want. He was working his way up the hierarchy. He could have been someone great in the eyes of the people in Jerusalem. He had the privilege to learn under Gamaliel, who was one of the greats, one of the best teachers you could have in all of Jerusalem. But yet, and what we'll see soon, he cast it all off. When he came to the truth, when he came across Christ, he understood what was more important. It's sad when we have brothers and sisters who don't understand how important it is to, when the doors are open, to be here, how important it is to be on time at worship and worshiping God, how important it is. This is the only time when we can come together to escape the world and to focus solely on God. But not only here, but when we go home, to take God with us to study Scripture as a family. How important it is, and we've read so many times through the Old Testament, the generation, present generation, was to pass down what they have seen and heard to the next generation so that they would not forget God. Do we do that with our young ones? Do we do that with our grandkids? Do we tell them about Christ? Do we make it a priority? Do we make it our entire life to raise our kids in Christ? Or do we simply say, Sundays are for God, the rest of the week is for every other thing, school, sports, whatever. It's so important that we understand this as Christians, because that desire will lead us to want to pursue Christ and learn everything about Him and to be like Him. How many of your kids have said, I want to be like Patrick Mahomes, I want to be like Ryan Reynolds, I want to be like, if you know who Ryan Reynolds is, I'm sure the younger people do. Kids will tell you, I want to be like my favorite influencer on YouTube. I want to be like this great athlete over here. I would rather hear kids say, I want to be like Christ. It's so important. That desire. If they see their parents, grandparents, not desiring to be like Christ, they won't have that same desire. We need that desire, because what Christ calls His followers next to doing will be hard. And going back to our main text in verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In order, before you could even take up that cross daily, you must have that desire. And so we talked Wednesday night, what does it mean? What does Christ mean to deny oneself and to take up their cross daily? Well, you know that the word deny means to disown, to disassociate oneself. We are to deny who we are. Who the old Colton was, who the old Jennifer was, who the old Nathan was. Deny that individual. Disown them. Because they were slaves to sin. They were lost. They were condemned. They focused on worthless things. They focused on things of this world that have no room. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now that I have already, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was focused on the present and future. His past and who he was, he denied. He disowned. When he came to Christ, all of that before was gone. He is no longer the Paul who killed, the one who was enslaved under the old law. He understood at that point the old law could not save me. The old law could only tell me what sin was. It couldn't take it away. But this Christ whom I persecuted is the Son of God who came and died and rose again. He is the one and the only one that can help us obtain salvation. It's only through Christ. Paul understood this when he wrote this to the Philippians. He pressed forward to the goal, which is what? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is our goal for ourselves and our children? Is it to be in heaven one day, or is it to be a doctor, pro athlete? Things that are worthless. Our goal is to deny our old self and to take up our cross daily. It's not easy. At this point in Philippians, Paul's in prison writing this letter. Paul had suffered many things. He has been accused of things he never did. But Paul still understood, I am taking my cross up daily and I'm following Christ. I am not denying him. I am not rejecting him. I could care less what the world tells me. We had this young man. He was a part of my class in preaching school. He was 18 when he came to preaching school. And his parents are not true Christians. And so when they heard he wanted to go to this school, they knew they had to stop him. So his dad offered him a house, a car, and many other things to keep him from going to school. He still rejected that and said, no, I'm going to preaching school. I'm going to learn to preach. I admired him for that. Because what a temptation. A brand new house? Man, that's hard to come by. Most houses are $200,000 and more today. A car, $30,000 or more. It's a lot of money to keep you from going to preaching school. He understood what was more important, his soul and the condition of it. He wanted to take up his cross daily and follow Christ. He denied himself. He denied the old David who was in sin, who was lost. He put it all off. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul was not going to put himself back under the old law, which would make him a transgressor. The old law could not take away his sins, could not save him. He understood by following Christ, being obedient to Christ, pursuing him daily, denying himself, taking up his cross daily and following him, he would find salvation. We have to understand when we deny ourselves, we are to put off our old life, disown it, disown sin, have nothing to do with it. Put away all the worthless things we once pursued away. It's not important. I can tell you, absolutely, as kids, we need to do good in school. Get good grades, absolutely. If you're playing sports, have fun. Enjoy it. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, understand all of this, it ends. There's an NFL player who retired, and they interviewed him a couple of years after. And they asked him, what are you doing now that you're retired? He said, nothing. I'm lost. I have no purpose. My purpose was to play football. Now I don't know what to do. Yeah, he had a lot of money in the bank, but he had no purpose. His whole life was training to be a football player. Temporary purpose eventually ends. But what Christ offers is a purpose that will always be there. We have a purpose in Christ that will never end. I often tell other preachers, we will never be out of a job because there's always lost souls out there to go to save. And that's not just preachers. As the church, you never run out of purpose. There's always a lost soul that you know about, that you need to go to. But once again, if that desire is not there, we're not going to pick up our cross daily and follow them. We're not going to do what Christ has called us to do. If our minds are set on worldly things and pursuing worldly things, that's what we're going to be doing. We're not going to worry about, well, is this individual lost? We need to go and talk to them, teach them, preach to them. We're going to be more focused on what we want, not what Christ wants. The old self that we are to deny only was centered around what they wanted. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. We see so many have that mindset, even in worship. Well, you know what? This wasn't entertaining. I'm going to go somewhere else. We're not here for us. If you cannot understand the bigger picture, it's all about Christ. Paul even said it. It's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. His whole life shifted from what he wanted, what he was trying to gain, to now, what does Christ want me to do? And he tells his followers there in Luke 9:23 what he wants them to do. He wants them to deny themselves, to disown themselves, to take up their cross daily, not once a week, not twice a week, daily, and follow him. And if we're more focused on song lyrics, movies, TV shows, sports, school, whatever it may be, and it's not pursuing him daily, memorizing, learning scripture, and having a prayer life, then we need to take a step back and look at our lives. And so the final question, what have we gained? What, those who were lost, what have you gained from pursuing these things, these worthless things? What have you gained? I ask because we have people, and I know people who are not Christians. Because I don't know what it is. I know some factors that can play into it. Well, my family died off. That's me pretty much saying they're lost. I'm not worried about them. Because if they could come back and talk to you, they would tell you, go. Take the truth and run with it. Or if it's because you're not worthy enough, let me tell you, none of us are worthy sitting here today. I'm not worthy. What have you gained by not coming to Christ? You've gained nothing, but you've lost everything. You've gained nothing and you've lost everything. If that makes sense. Because people think, well, if I get this good job, I'll gain everything. I'll be all right. No. When you make it your focus, you've lost everything that matters. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. These worldly things that we focus on, they pass away. All the money you have goes away, doesn't it? The vehicles, the homes, all of it, it passes. It gets destroyed. It can be stolen. We go back to our main text, and it lines up with Mark 8, 36 and 38. But Mark 8, verses 36 through 80, verse 38, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it profit you? Nothing. Nothing. Your soul will forever be in torment, will be in hell for eternity. Why do you want your soul to be lost? And really, it goes all the way back to the beginning. Desire. If you don't desire Christ, I pray that you find a way to build up that desire. I hope one day you wake up and you realize, I need to get right. Because the time is drawing to an end. And one day, Christ will be back. And at that point, there is no other chance. Your chance is right now. Your second chance is right now. In Luke 9, verse 24, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. If you desire to save your life, you will lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life for his sake, for Christ, you will find it. It's not easy, and it never will be easy. We'll have battles continually, daily. We will fail. But we know as long as we get back up and we keep moving forward, pressing forward to the goal and pursuing Christ daily, we know that that Christ will not be ashamed of us, that he will stand with us, and that we will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my goal, is to hear those words. And that means that I must pursue him daily, that I must be in Scripture, that I must have a prayer life, that I must be reaching out to as many people, lost people, as I can. And now's this time. If you are lost this morning, do not wait. Time is coming to an end. Don't wait. I don't care what's holding you back. You need to get over that hump. You need to come to Christ. That's the only way your soul will be saved, is to come to Christ. And this is how you do it. You hear the word, which you have done this morning, Romans 10:17. You believe it. There are conditions. You believe. You must believe. John 3:16-17. Then you must repent of your sin. Change one's mind. You have to repent. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10:10. And then you must be baptized, immersed for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26-27. Then you must remain faithful. That's the hard part. That's where you will be tested. That's where you will be tempted. You will have battles. But knowing this, Christ will be there with you through it all. Or if you are a Christian, you have fallen back into your old ways. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Come back. Come forward. Repent of your sins and renew your walk with him. You know what he offers. It's far better than what this world can offer. So if you're here this morning and you need assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.